Dear friends, by the grace of God, we are coming to the discussion of these concluding verses of 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is considered, this chapter is considered most important, and this whole substance not only of Bhagavad Gita but of all the Vedantic scriptures is included, condensed in this chapter, and that is why this chapter is being studied a lot, recited again and again by the devotees of all different bends of mind, because this provides the inspiration and guidance to everyone who is out there to seek one's own self and thus seek the ultimate fulfillment in one's life. What will make my life really blessed, really peaceful, truly happy? I don't want to waste my life. Who wants to waste life? I want to make the best use of every moment. And how can I do that? What direction should I give to my life? All these beautiful ideas, they come up in a very succinct and substantial but brief presentation in this 15th chapter. It is really a genius here, that Lord Krishna's genius that we can see at work here, at best I can say. It is the whole idea, as we had been discussing for last some classes, that to see that God is our true self, and the knowledge thereof makes us free, makes us heir to immortality, heir to all bliss, and thus all the problems that we face are positively resolved. Not that they are pushed aside, but they are completely resolved. We saw Lord told that how there is this changing aspect to our personality, and yet there is something that is unchanging, that is that we feel within us, and that unchanging survives even though the physical body falls off. And taking the mind, the accumulated impressions, the sensory and motor organs, it gets established, or it gets in modern language installed on a new hardware, a new machine, new body, and then starts functioning through that new body. Now, for what does it take bodies again and again? To fulfillment. Patanjali has described this as the real motive behind evolution. I am not going to deliberate too much on that topic. It's a very interesting thing, that how what we call evolution is so beautifully explained at both the levels, as to the physical level, psychological level, and the purpose behind all this. Why should one call a change as evolution? Every change is cannot be called evolution. What is the criterion that makes some changes as evolutionary and some involutionary? We have to have an end, a goal for all evolution. Patanjali has shown that goal in very important aphorism where he says that jatyantar parinamaha prakritya purat, that why all these jati means the species, why this being travels from this species to that species, and why the change of body takes place, to find more and more manifestation to inner divinity. And when that internal nature is completely expressed, then one becomes free and the goal is reached. There is no further need to evolve because evolution has reached its culmination. So this idea is there in the change of the bodies. Now here it is told that the inner divine spirit or light that is common in all, and the variations are only because of the changing and transient part that surrounds it. Like you fill the water in different glasses, the same water, but you get call it water in this glass and water in that glass. The difference is in the glasses and not in the water. So here the idea is shown that this Lord is in every being. After all, it is the glass is for holding the content like water. That is the purpose of the glass. It is the water for which the glass is. This whole universe is really pervaded and sustained by Lord. Every action that we are performing is supported, not only supported but actually carried out by Lord. In last class we discussed that how the sun and the moon, everything is able to scatter light. It is all the reflected light. It is the light of the Lord that shines in all these bodies. It is making all our the earth full of all these vegetation and life. It is that which makes the seasons, that which makes the crops grow, that is what makes the rains, and then brought right into our own personality, that it makes even your thinking, digestion, your memory and lack of it all possible. Removal of the memory is important, as we discussed that the other day, that it is that happens, that whole function is carried out by the presence of God. So God is pervaded in us through all these functions. Even our winking of the eye is possible only because of the presence of God. Just as every motion in say an electric fan is possible because of the electricity that is flowing in it, so also the divine presence really makes for everything that we think we are doing. Our breathing, our digestion process, metabolic processes, all our neural functions, everything is possible because of that divine presence. And after telling that, now the whole crux of the matter is being discussed in these last verses. Very important, this point comes in many Upanishads at some stage. It has to come to show that we all feel the two beings in us. Two, the changing and the unchanging. There is a confusion in us about it, that what is the changing and what is not changing. It is very difficult to separate that. But we have to learn to observe it. This 16th verse, Dvavimo purusho loke ksharascha ksharevacha ksharas sarvani bhutani kutastho kshara uchyate. There are two beings, purushas, in the world, perishable and imperishable. The perishable one is all these creatures, and the immutable is called the imperishable. Sharas sarvani bhutani. Everything that we see coming and going, changing, and that is one I. That Purusha, let us look at ourselves. One aspect of I is a continuous changing process. The body changes, our appearance changes, our thoughts also keep on changing, our desires keep on shifting, everything, our relationships with other people, they keep on shifting. Continuous change, and yet we associate I with that. I was young, I am old, that is, I is associated with changing something. I used to like to eat this, now I like to eat something else. All these things, I had these friends, now I have these friends. I used to live in that place, now I live in this place. So many things, you know, the changing. If we look at it, just look at our past lives like a cinema. The cinema of our life would be quite interesting, is it not? All the memories, just try to put them in order and look at them. It is how the various changes took place. It's a good meditation. And in everything, in every such changing picture, discern. And that is where the meditation will occur. That discern the unchanging. That although I was staying as a child in some town in India, and then I moved or traveled in different places as a little child, I was growing up, that I have all these pictures. I was there when, while running, I fell down and then started crying aloud. I can see that picture. I was there. I saw that the blood coming out of my knees and elbows and all those places. And then I see my mom running and lifting me up. And nursing me, putting balm and everything, and at the same time scolding also, that, hey, who told you could not see like this, that if you run like this, what happens? You shouldn't run like that. I am there. I was witnessing that. Now also as memory, you see that the same I that is standing at the podium is there too. It is. It hasn't changed, and yet many things have changed. It is. You see, I feel I am going to school. A little school, little boy going to little school, and sometimes very happy, very elated, because I got good grades and the teachers praised me. I felt very happy. Came to home within very jolly mood, and then some other days I got lot of scoldings, didn't do things well. I am witnessing both of these. These are pictures, you know. I am seeing just the movie. Look at this movie, that things are changing, and yet I am there. That it is. I am seeing them now. All these pictures are being painted. I am there. It is that changing and yet unchanging. This, both of these are the two beings in me. Something that changes and something that does not change. It is this has to be done by us to discern that which is changing and that which is not changing. The 13th chapter was mainly devoted to this idea that find out that which is the changing and therefore known, and then unchanging and therefore the knower. So the knower and the known, the changing and the unchanging, discern that. So many, every person's life must undergoes so many very exciting changes, sometimes through very scary situations, sometimes through very joyous situations. It is all different things that keep on happening to us, some expected, some unexpected, and so forth. So this is a meditation that one can do, that look at these changing pictures, and while looking at that, try to discern the I that has been witnessing all these changes. That remains the same. That it is, I know that these are my pictures, all these. The one when I was just a 2-year-old kid, and the one that is 60-year-old person. All these changes, well, they are being witnessed by me. I have not, I was not really part and parcel of all these changing processes. I was in one sense, but not that something remained unchanged in that process that makes me connect all these to one being. That I don't think that the one that I am describing, who fell 2 years when it was 2 years old, could be associated with Charles. It cannot be. It is not. It was not Charles. I know that this was this fellow who had that experience. So there is now the distinction also there. The I here and I there. The two are being felt. They are different. They are not felt as same. They are not known as same. But the changing thing and the unchanging aspect is felt. Relatively, this is not changing. This I who is noticing, is witnessing and identifying with those changes. The problem with this I, although unchanging, it is getting identified with the changes. Like I was the 2-year-old body and I am the 60-year-old body. Now there is all, it is changed, but I identify myself with these changes. A very interesting point, a bit difficult to grasp, not very easy, but one has to therefore very diligently look at that. It is a very important spiritual exercise to discern the unchanging in and through all these changes in one's life. So, the two beings, Shara and Akshara, the changing and the unchanging. So, Kshara Sarvani Bhutani, all that you can perceive, all these creatures, all this being, all your body and everything, what is it? It is whatever you perceive is changing. Kshara means coming and going. It is shifting continuously. In fact, it is the changes that you perceive. So, our perception is always that of change. And the perceiver remains unchanging. Kutasthaha means unchanging. This is a very funny situation really. A mix-up between the changing and the unchanging. Now, the nature of this unchanging is not easy to find out, because although we see that it is the I here and I there in Charles or I in Abhijit, they are all different. I see that they are different. But yet, I cannot point out to the differentiation there. The differentiation seems to be, whenever I try to point out, the differentiation is only in the changing and not in the unchanging. For example, if I say, no, I fell down when on this and this date, I was 2-year-old, and that was not Charles, because this body fell down, not that body, but again, what am I pointing out at body and not I? I am pointing out at the changing to identify the unchanging. And therefore, where is the distinction between the unchangings? Is there any distinction except that of false identification? And therefore, this quest for who this I is becomes a big mystery, and irresolvable big mystery. It is the analogy given many times, therefore, is like the reflection of a sun, a reflection of the sun in, a water pot. You have put water pots in the sun and you see the reflection of the sun. Now the sun is surely seen in the waters there, but as you try as much as you want to extract that sun from the water, keep on putting your hands here, there, everywhere in the water. You put your hand, try to take it out, you see only water has come out. You think that you have made a big mistake. Let me try more cautiously. Sun is seen right there. Let me put my hand like that before it slips away again. You keep on trying and trying and trying. And that is what is called physical science, you know. That trying to find out the consciousness in this puddle of matter. Where is the consciousness? And you keep on again and again putting hands in the waters to extract the sun out of it. And we feel then the sun in this pot and sun in that pot, they are different. I see here and the sun here and the sun there, they are so different. See here, the sun is kind of, you know, jumping. There it is not jumping. But is the sun jumping? It is the water that is jumping. And so you see the reflection also jumping. Here the sun is muddy. And there the sun is nice and clean. Well, the sun is neither clean or muddy. It is the water. Every time it is only the water that is pointed out. The sun that is seen there, where is this? And that is the biggest mystery in the world. Where am I? Who am I? The tremendous mystery. Where is this I? Come on, find out. And we cannot forget this search completely, because after all, I is the most important thing for us. My happiness, my satisfaction, my life, all these things, it is so important for us. I am so and so, that yes, I am afraid of heights, I am afraid of driving on the highways, I am afraid of the waters, I can do such and such things nicely. I cannot do that thing well. I can play ping pong well, but I cannot play something else well. I am very good in politics, but I am not good in economics. You can say so many things that about I. So, who is this fellow? Certainly this is the question that is very important for each of us. Who is this? And so again and again, and we come back to it. And now in the next verse, Lord gives the answer to it, that see that unchanging that you were looking at that. He says it is neither the reflect that sun that you are seeing in the water, nor the water. It is neither the water nor the sun you are seeing in the water. You have to look at a different level of reality. Remove your eyes from this water. Look up. Look up. And then you will see the reality. Uttama purushastvanyah paramatmetyadharitah yo lokatrayamavishya bibhartyavyayishwarah. Different from these is the Supreme Being known as the Supreme Self, Paramatman, the immutable Lord, who having entered the three worlds had sustained them. So this is the Uttama. Uttama means the supreme, the best, the topmost, the ultimate, that is called Uttama, the ultimate. The ultimate being is neither of these two, anyaha, is different from these changing things and the relatively unchanging that you perceive there. Both of these are just mixed with each other. It is like that. A kid was asked that, well, where do you live? Right in front of the post office. But where is the post office? Right in front of my house. It is. So clear, he is not understanding why the fellow is asking again. Where is the post office? But okay, where are both of these? Right in front of each other. So, that is how that where is I in the body? What is the body? Well, this is what I am. Both of them kind of supporting and justifying each other, holding each other, but none of them is real. Both of them are really speaking and not real. It is the body and then whatever we see, perceive, is certainly changing and therefore not real. And then this seemingly unchanging is also caught in it, associated with this changing, identified with this changing, and therefore there is no reality to it either. That is what the Buddhist and also the Advaita Vedantins, they clearly keep on telling that it has no existence apart from illusion. It is in illusion that we think that there is an I apart from this body, and which is my own, that is not somebody else's. And this faith is so strong that anything against it is not acceptable. Our this lady Varnam keeps on asking me this, well, but is not the souls are all different, is it not? They are all different. Apparently, yes, they are very different from each other. But where is the difference? Can you pinpoint the difference? Can you show where the difference is? The difference is then not in the soul, but in what the soul identifies with, that's all. It is, therefore, there is nothing like soul that can be separately shown. It is, when you try to show it, it becomes all-pervading. Like when you try to take out all the different suns, sun in this pot A, pot B, pot C, and then separately and number them and keep them hanging out there. Can we do that? You try and you see there is no sun there at all. Is there sun in that water? No, and yet we see it, so it must be there. You try to find it, it is not there. And you see it, yes, it is seen. That is what is called illusion. When you see but is actually not there, that is what is called illusion, is it not? It is. There was some computer program. It is, even without computer, there were many such shows that are done, that you see right in front of you that Jesus with his disciples is walking in front of you, right there you see, and then, well, it is really not there, it is illusion. It is, there is nothing there, but you see that's happening. It is all these things that we see, but when you get go to examine, it is not there. That is what is called illusion. Otherwise, what is the meaning to this word illusion? If you do not see it at all, there is no illusion. If you see and find out, again it is real, not illusion. The illusion is that which you see, but when you go to examine and get it, you don't find it at all. You see the water there and you try to go and get some water from there and it disappears. It is seen but it is not there. You call it illusion, that it is mirage. There is no water there. You see that there is right there the skyline meets the earth horizon. Let me go there. And you go on walking and walking and walking, that yes, I will get to the horizon. You don't get it. That is, in fact, though that experience led to the first understanding that the earth is not flat, earth is round. If had earth been flat, if you move to the horizon, it will come closer, and then on the other side it will be seen farther, but on all sides it looks the same. Even if you walk 500 miles in one direction, and not that the horizon comes any closer in that direction and goes farther, recedes farther in the other direction. It does not. It is, there is nothing like horizon. It is, there is no such line that somebody has drawn. You can never get there. But it is, it appears to every eye, it appears that look, sky actually that touches the ground there. Now, although you see it, you know that it is not real. So similarly, both of these are unreal, the changing and the so-called unchanging, caught in the midst of this changing. Both of them are not real, not the ultimate. And therefore, Lord says that it is the Uttama Purusha, the ultimate being, is different. Anyaha means separate from these two, different from these two. But different not in the sense that this remains here and that is that Uttama being, the ultimate being, is in the other room. No. That ultimate being is the reality, and therefore Lord says that yo lokatrayama avishya, that ultimate being pervades all the three worlds, that like the real rope that fills every part of the illusion of the snake. When you discover the rope, not that it is the snake gets kept in some other place, that there was a snake, underneath there was rope, and so you lifted the snake, put it in your pocket. Had it been real snake, you won't go to do it, but it is. And then there is the rope. So you have separated them, put snake in one box and rope in another box. No. That rope was in ignorance, appearing as this snake. So also the Lord, the ultimate being, the ultimate existence, is appearing as all this world and the illusory I in it. That is being called here the Uttama Purusha, the ultimate being. It is a great idea, friends. We are that infinite being. That needs to be known. That needs to be held on to. This reality is to be held on to. That is then the source of all that we seek in life. Everything that we are seeking in life, all satisfaction, all happiness, all peace just depends on this important thing. How much we can hold on to this understanding that I am that ultimate real being who transcends time and space and pervades everything. I am that perfection. See, all the foolish ideas of running after this and that, they just wither away. They cannot be then fooling us anymore. It is, we stop then the frustrating effort of taking the sun out of that water. The whole riddle of the universe becomes completely resolved, and then that supreme peace descends on us. So the next verse illustrates this, that yasmat ksharam atituham aksharadapi chottamah atosmi loke vedecha prathitah purushottamah. Since I am beyond the perishable and even excel the imperishable, therefore I am well known in this world and in the Vedas as the Supreme Being, Purushottama. We saw the first line of this, a major part of this verse, in the discussion that we were having. The one part that is important that we did not touch, that Lord says that therefore I am well known in this world and in the Vedas as the Supreme Being. In this world I am known as the Supreme Being. The very idea of God is that of a Supreme Being. Nothing superior to God by definition. God is the ultimate. And therefore when we say that nobody knows, when we have to say nobody knows, we say God alone knows. That is because there's the Supreme Being may be knowing, that's all. Nobody else can know. It is. Where has John gone? God alone knows. Means it is, I don't know. Nobody around is likely to know. So God alone knows. It is that God is the Supreme Being. And it is above everything. We have the sense that high means better and better. So therefore we show God high above there. So highest being, the topmost, there is nothing superior to that. That is, even every person has the understanding, whether that person believes in God or doesn't believe in God, it matters not. The idea that God is the highest is there. Whether that such a thing exists or doesn't exist, can be found out or cannot be found out, it can be debated. But by very definition, God is the Supreme, the highest. If you say God is not supreme, it is, this is in a mathematical way, this is shown in this manner, that if God is not supreme, if you want to prove that God is not supreme, you have to show somebody who is superior to God, that this being is superior to God. Okay, then we will call that as God. That which is supreme, that is God. So it doesn't depend what name you give, but that which is ultimate, supreme, that which does not get superseded by anyone, that is the supreme. It is not an elected office that we all have to vote and say that this is the highest executive authority, President of United States. But it is, God is by His very definition is the supreme. It is Everybody, therefore, by definition, has to have that trust in God. Like we say here, we trust in God, others have to pay cash. So it is, in God we trust, that is, in American Constitution, in God we trust, others pay cash. So it is, we don't trust others. It is, that is in loke, means in this world, in the popular understanding, God is the supreme. But in scriptures, God is supreme in another sense. In scriptures means those who actually have seen God, who have come face to face with reality, those who have known it, who have realized it as their own self, their reflections are given in the scriptures. So they say that yes, God is the supreme in the sense of the existing goal of everyone, that which really is, that is what is called saint. If somebody says, Taittiriya Upanishad describes, asanneva sabhavati asad brahmeti veda chet, that if somebody thinks that God is not, then that removes that person's own existence, that is negating that person's own existence. Asanneva sabhavati, that Brahman is not there, then you become negated, your existence becomes negated. Asti brahmeti chedveda, if somebody knows that Brahman, the God, is, experienced that on the basis of experience, knows that God is, santamenam tato vidvriti, that person gets called as the saint. Saint is the word actually derived from the Sanskrit word santa. English word saint is derived from the Sanskrit word santa, which means the one who really is established in true existence. It comes from the root sat, means to exist, that which exists. So sat is existence, and santa means the one who has found that imperishable real existence. So when you find that, you become saint. So that is how the scriptures describe the existence of God as supreme. So both know, atosmi loke vedecha prathitah purushottamah, in the world as well as in the scriptures, God is known as the supreme existence. And then should I know that? Should I go to know this? Lord says, look what happens to that person. Yo mameva sammudho janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. This is a very beautiful verse describing the nature of a true devotee. Who is the true devotee? And this verse says, he who being thus undeluded, knows me, the supreme being, worships me in all respects, O descendant of Bharata, and becomes all-knowing. That to know this is the purpose of all devotion. That to know that the God is the supreme reality, God is my reality, God is the reality of everything. So this knowledge is the one who gets it. And asammudho, that person is called undeluded. All others are deluded. The only one who knows one's own existence as divine is undiluted. All others are in various degrees and various shapes of delusion. So this is told here, that here is the person who has seen the truth and known the reality, and thus there is no delusion, and that is thus the true worship. This person alone can worship me. It is told in Upanishads as well as in the various other scriptures of devotion, that the devotion means feeling this God as one's very self, being close to God, being close to God. Now how close? How close to God? How close to God when there is no distinction remaining between you and God? So, your existence, even in the language of surrender, that is how this gets expressed, that you merge yourself in God. So God alone remains. So that is the best devotional practice, best worship, when the worshipper completely surrenders oneself in God, so that the worshipper does not remain anymore. Only God remains, and that it is therefore it is told in Upanishads that yatho dakam shuddhe shuddhamasiktam tadrugeva bhavati tathaiva atma gautama, that just as you pour a little water into another water pot, and then they both become same. So also this water here, means the I here, is just surrendered into the big I, and now there is no distinction, there is no separateness. And that is the vijanataha mune atma bhavati gautama, that it is in this verse, comes in Kathopanishad, that that is how one realizes the truth in oneself. And then what happens then? Suppose you say that, well, I don't want to have that realization. Yesterday I was talking to one minister of a congregational church, and then very nice guy, has many nice tales to tell, very eloquent, and he said, suppose I don't want that knowledge, I want to, you know, because I want to enjoy the world. I love my wife so much, I don't want to give up that idea. I am attached, I don't want to give up my attachments. Then what? Then what? Let us understand the consequences, friends. We are free. Like it is told, you know, at when you are signing the contract for something, you are told the consequences. That if you do this, then this is what you are actually looking at. So let us understand this before signing this, that no, I don't want to give up attachments. Let us understand the consequences of it. If we do not want this wisdom, then what is the consequence? The last verse tells that in a very positive way. Says, iti guhyatamam shastram idamuktam mayanagha etad budhva buddhiman syat kritakrityascha bharata. That thus this most secret doctrine has been expounded by me, O sinless one. So those who are living a very sinful life, they won't get this doctrine, because it is told to sinless one. It is a very intended epithet of Arjuna here, that it is told through that you have to be sinless to get at the purport of this wonderful doctrine. And then, knowing this, one becomes wise. If you don't know this, what is the consequence? You don't become wise. Do we want to stay in that state? I don't want to become wise. When we say that I don't want God realization, okay, then I stay dumb, fool. Do we want that? This knowledge makes us wise. And then second thing it is told that the one who has accomplished all the duties, all the works have been accomplished. Actually, the Sanskrit word has a lot more to it than the translation mentions here. That the Sanskrit word krita kritya means fulfilled. That whatever the things are to be done in life are all done and I am fulfilled. Nothing more is wanted. I am not now going to cure the world of all its ills. I am not going now to see that whether this person gets justice and that person gets justice, the world is full of ills. Well, all this is, this idea drops off. You feel that by knowing this, you have become fulfilled. You now have no desires left. You don't have any turbulence left. The peace is reigning supreme. The joy and happiness and that sense of a serene bliss is filling the whole life in you and around you. One great saint in Maharashtra, Tukaram, he expresses in a very nice song, Ananda Se Dohi Ananda Taranga, that it is like in the pond of bliss, there is the wave of bliss. That's it, you know. The whole existence becomes full of bliss. That is the life that by this simple trick we will have that life. And if we don't want that, we will miss it. And so Lord says, this is the great secret that I am revealing to you. This is great secret. In fact, Guhyatamam, greatest secret. Why it is greatest secret? Because it is obvious. And yet, we don't want to know it. That is why it is the greatest secret. It is, this is being revealed to you. And knowing this, your life will become fulfilled. So friends, let us pray that this wisdom comes to us. We get inspiration to fulfill our lives by knowing this truth, realizing this truth. And here this 15th chapter ends Purushottam Yoga. Any questions? So, of course, not too many questions were expected on this, because one has to think a lot to ask questions. It is for some time the Bhagavad Gita classes will remain substituted by other important lectures, like next Friday there is another lecture, because and all these lectures are related to Bhagavad Gita. And we will see, like there will be lectures on how Sri Ramakrishna in his inimitable way was giving the message of Bhagavad Gita. And then there will be somebody discussing about the different yogas that are taught in and through Bhagavad Gita and so forth. So, and the next Bhagavad Gita class is planned on 21st of December. So you have now lot of time to think about the questions. Richard was going to ask a question, but later, you know, it is. We shall conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरे या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवगी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु। Thank you.